Welcome to the Reiki Show. I'm Bronwyn Steiner from the International House of Reiki. And today we have a special treat for everyone. It's a Reiki forum. And we'll be including some of the lovely Reiki people who've blogged on our website at ihreiki.com. So let me introduce them first off, and they can tell a little bit about themselves. So we have Zeynep Premdasi Yilmaz. Now, Zeynep runs a practice in Cincinnati. And Zeynep, would you just tell us a little bit about what you do and how people can find you?
Sure. Like you said, I live in Cincinnati. And actually, my Reiki practice is just practicing on myself, my family, and basically at work. So I'm not professionally practicing. The only thing I do is probably share Reiki at a volunteer basis at the cancer support community. So I teach Reiki at cancer support community, and also I organize the Reiki community in Cincinnati. So I bring people, the Reiki practitioners, together a few times a year in a day-long gathering.
Okay, thank you. We've also got Kathleen Prasad of Animal Reiki Source here from California. Kathleen, could you tell us a bit about what your focus is and what you do?
Hi, sure. My practice is focused on animals, and most of what I do is teach people how to work with Reiki and their animals. It's a lot of fun.
Sounds good. And then we also have Sunda Kadayam, and he's from Cincinnati as well. And Sunda, what's your focus with Reiki?
Much of my focus has really been working on myself. So for me, Reiki has really been part of my spiritual growth. And after about 7 years, I've just started teaching Reiki again. And this time I'm trying to help people like myself who have attempted to get on the spiritual path, but could really use support of a very good system like Reiki. And that's what I've been doing since August of this year.
Fantastic. And we have Joyce Leonard. Joyce has Santa Cruz Reiki Works in California. Hi, Joyce.
Hello. My personal practice is focused. I am a practitioner and a teacher, so I work on people, and I teach all levels of Reiki as well, and offer Reiki practice groups as well as half-day intensives. And I also offer Reiki in hospices and in animal shelters.
Great. And then we have Kelly McDermott Burns, who is from Heartsong Reiki in Vermont.
Hi, I am a student of Kathleen and Franz, and so I work with people and animals, and much like Joyce, my focus is bringing Reiki to hospice, the local hospital, and also to the animal shelters in Vermont. And just really educating the public. I teach classes and I have a private practice, and do a lot of volunteer work with Reiki and educating, going out and talking to groups and educating the public about what Reiki is and how it can be used.
Fantastic. And then we have Franz Steiner, who's the co-founder of the International House of Reiki with myself. Welcome, Franz.
I teach Reiki as a spiritual practice worldwide in Australia, America, Europe, and I really see it as a spiritual practice with the side effect that we can do hands-on healing on each other. But the most important one is really looking after yourself.
Thanks, Franz. So I'd like to begin with some general questions, and please feel free, everyone, to give your ideas about these questions. And first off, what do you think is important in a daily practice?
This is Joyce. I would say consistency.
Yep.
It wasn't until I really practiced on practically a daily basis. I'd say every now and again I'll miss a day, but it wasn't until then that I really started seeing my own spiritual growth happening.
This is Sundar. I agree with the same point. I think consistency is the most important thing. For me, the fact that my first Reiki teacher told me that part and parcel of learning the system that I had to go and practice for 21 days, I just look back upon that decision that I made then to follow blindly what that teacher said as being foundational to where I've gotten to with my practice with Reiki. Without that initial consistency and learning from experience, that consistency is such a vital element for practice on oneself. So that's really been the thing that's made a big difference for me.
So starting off with those 21 days to get you going.
Absolutely, and that really, it was the seed of a new habit, if you will, for me. Because through those 21 days, I really started getting really like a very visceral experience of movement of energy. I started off as a really skeptical guy. For me, it was necessary to go through that 21 days to make that shift in my mind to accept that these things like energy flow in the body can be perceived by myself. And I think that laid the foundation, allowing me to do the same thing moving forward, consistent practice.
Hi, this is Zeynep, and I instantly remembered an article that Franz wrote, which is one of my favorites, Three P's of the Reiki System, Practice, Patience, and Persistence. And for me, patience made a lot of difference because I was one of those people who was not really sensitive to energy, and I wasn't very intuitive. So, but just being patient and constant practice made a really big difference for me in my practice.
This is Kelly again. One of the things that I found to be really important to daily practice is working with the precepts. And working with them consistently, but also that there are so many ways that I can work with them as far as meditation or just in my daily interactions with people when I'm not in specifically sitting in a practice or, you know, doing a specific thing of Reiki, doing a specific Reiki technique. I can just use those precepts all day long. And so one of the things that I found really freeing was discovering that there were so many ways that Reiki can be practiced, not just what we can traditionally feel, you know, the hands-on healing is Reiki practice, but understanding that, you know, it's not just that. It's the meditation. It's the using the precepts, going out in my daily interactions with people and being able to use them there, but also learning how to be compassionate. And somebody else had talked about the patience. Being patient with myself and understanding that everything is just as it should be and I don't have to force things.
And this is Kathleen, and I would echo everything everybody said about the dedication and patience and working with the precepts. And I would also add something that has really helped me personally is my dog sitting with me when I meditate and being with my horses when I do my practice. And I feel that when we share a space with animals' energy, it helps us to go deeper more easily than when we're by ourselves. So I really see my animals as my helpers, my meditation helpers.
It's kind of like this is Francie, like you're meditating in a group.
Yes, with very experienced masters. Yes.
Yeah, for me personally also, I think it's really important to stick to one main practice. Like, you know, often we do all sorts of different practices one day and the next day and the next day, and then we become like a jack of all trades but a master of none. And so when we stick to one kind of main practice, we create a really good foundation then for when we move on to the next practice, that we have a solid foundation to rest that next practice upon.
Great. And now I've got a different question for you. Why do you have a daily practice? Zeynep, would you like to begin?
Well, it keeps me grounded. And I'm really grateful having a Reiki practice. I don't know how I would otherwise survive in the corporate job I have. But practicing Reiki really grounds me, makes me feel safe and secure, and I'm more balanced and more happy. So that's why a daily practice.
I think for me, this is Sundar. I think for me, this is a good investment in myself, a reminder that I am more than my experiences, that I am more than the sum set of troubles or successes that I'm having in the day. It really allows me to create a separation from the experiences that I have, allowing for that, without judgment, allowing for me to just witness and participate in the throes of daily life. I'm not saying I do it consistently, but increasingly that's the benefit I'm getting out of that daily practice.
Yes, and Sundar, you're a businessman, so I imagine that it would be quite helpful to have a daily practice, and that's what Zainab was just saying herself about being in a corporate job. For business people, you know, what might be a benefit for them to practicing on themselves with the system of Reiki?
I work in a corporate style setting as well. I work in a startup environment, and I am in a part of a group of companies that are all startups at different stages of their growth. And I get a chance to walk around and see literally dozens of people in the course of a day. One common thread I see across all of them is the level of stress that they carry. And the stress is really related to, if they are salespeople, it is about getting more deals and meeting their numbers. If it is technology people, they are worried about deadlines. If these are executives, they are worried about their goals and objectives not being met. And it goes on and on and on. So circumstances are different. One thing is common, and that is stress. And among the simplest things that I try to inject into these people's lives is basically, can you just pause and breathe? And even just doing something as simple and as conscious as just noticing that you're getting bottled up, can they just pause and breathe? So what I see is that a practice of any kind, a meditation, a breathing, hands-on healing on oneself, just contemplation of the precepts, whatever that might be, I think it's really extremely valuable in the high-stress business setting that I notice all around me. And I have to believe from my past experience, this is going to be the same regardless of whether the company is small, medium, or large.
Thank you. And Kelly, now I know you do a lot of hospice work and volunteer work. How do you feel that your daily practice helps you with that?
Well, I think, first of all, it does keep me very grounded, and going into situations in hospice or hospital or with the animals in a shelter, that's a really important piece for me so that I can be, you know, emotionally stable, and some of the things I witness are difficult to watch and be present with, but my daily practice allows me that, and I'm able to, I think, go into situations that normally would really rock my boat, but because I have this daily practice, I feel pretty solid in that I can be really present with somebody. And also I feel that, you know, a lot of times when I'm in a situation with somebody, I just had a hospice patient pass away recently, but when I would be with him, I could just feel like, and we were doing Reiki, just talking to him, even if I wasn't doing a session with him, I could feel it flowing, you know, and just that connection was there, and it was really important for me and for all of us to have that connection and recognize it.
Yes. So not just for yourself, but also the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Joyce, is it true that you have also been teaching in a university environment?
Right, yes.
Yeah, because for me, you know, like the idea of the system of Reiki, you know, and perhaps a daily practice is quite foreign to that to that sort of place. I was just wondering how you felt that your daily practice helped you with that, and how also, you know, teaching that in that environment worked.
The I have the great opportunity to teach a Reiki Level 1. It's just a one-day class, and the students sign up. There's about 14 students that sign up, and it's so wonderful to see these young kids at such an early age adopting the precepts, really understanding them. And my main focus with them is it's not really about hands-on healing. It's about the precepts, and hands-on healing is just a side benefit because a lot of them want to know how to manipulate energy. They come in because they're kind of they're interested in the, you know, like the force, you know what I mean, that kind of a thing. And by the time they leave, it's so great to see that they've really captured the essence of what a spiritual practice is about, and that's about becoming the precept. So it's so wonderful to teach these kids at such an early age these beautiful guidelines.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it's great to start them when they're young.
Yeah.
And also, I think study, you know, in a university environment can be quite stressful as well.
Yes, and so they can, I often stress to them how, you know, before a test or before, while they're working on their projects or their finals, is to, you know, to bring out the precepts and to meditate on them, or to even just do the Joshin Kokyu Ho while they're, to just ground themselves so that they can think more clearly. So it can be a very practical application for them in their lives.
Absolutely. And thanks, Joyce. Franz, I've got two questions for you. I was just wondering if the first one, you could just tell us a little bit about what you think a personal practice is. Yeah. So what in, within the system of Reiki, what it contains. And also, if you could tell us a little bit about how you deal with traveling so much and how you feel that your personal practice helps you with that element of what you do in your daily life.
Well, yeah, personal practice within the system of Reiki for me really depends on, you know, where we are at within the system of Reiki. So for someone who practiced Shodan or beginner's level, for me, really, the most important element for that is Joshin Kokyu Ho, what is like a breathing meditation into the hara or tandem, just below your belly button. And it's very much connected to the kind of earth energy, what creates a really solid foundation for the rest of the teachings to fall upon. In some schools, they teach a lot of hands-on healing as the main practice, but for me, it's really the more centered and grounded we become, then from that space really comes to hands-on healing. So in Shodan, for me, the main practice is really Joshin Kokyu Ho, to make sure that we stay grounded and centered and feel good within ourselves, because it's only when we feel really good within ourselves that we can help other people. If we don't feel really good within ourselves, it becomes very difficult to support other people in their healing. And, yeah, I do travel a lot, so I do a lot of meditation on the plane. I think it's really good for for jet lag. So, you know, when I feel tired, I do meditation in the plane. And most of the time, it's just really basic Joshin Kokyu Ho practices I do, or some other little practices. I also find it very beneficial if, you know, your planes are delayed or something happens and the plane is cancelled. Because, you know, when you have certain schedules to make and classes to do, and one of your plane is delayed for 9 hours, for example, then we might create a lot of anxiety within ourselves. So for me, working with the system of Reiki, with the precepts and the meditations and the hands-on healing and the symbols and the mantras for myself, really helps me to travel in a much lighter and open way.
Thanks, Franz. Kathleen, now, you know, we've already talked about that you're well known as an animal Reiki practitioner and teacher. How does your daily practice affect your work with the animals, do you feel?
Oh, I think it's like the foundation of everything. I mean, I couldn't do this work if I didn't have a daily practice. And, you know, a lot of the animals I work with are shelter and sanctuary animals who have, you know, experienced all kinds of abuse and neglect and things. And I'm working with those animals, and I'm working with the caretakers of those animals or the veterinarians that are caring for those animals. And so it's a lot of what people have been saying about just becoming more grounded and relieving stress and relaxing is so important for the caretakers because, you know, in shelters and sanctuaries, the burnout rate is incredibly high for the people that work there. So I see Reiki as, you know, I always try to empower the people that I go, if I go and do Reiki with the animals, to empower the people also. So I might even just, even if I'm only there for a few hours, I might teach, you know, the vet, the Joshin Kokyo-ho, because, you know, that's something that he can do instead of, you know, getting so stressed out by all this nightmare stuff that's happening in his day. And I've had several vets and vet techs tell me, oh, my God, I didn't know that just breathing that breath 10 times could make such a huge difference in my ability to think clearly and to not panic and to just be calm. And as soon as we're calm, the animals mirror that back to us. So if we're working with them and we're totally freaked out, they're going to be freaked out. And so it changes the whole dynamic of working with the animals. But see, I'm not going to be able to draw on that place inside myself if I don't have my daily practice. I'm going to be just as stressed out as everybody else. So I absolutely depend on my own daily practice. If I only have time to do one thing, either work with an animal or work on my daily practice, I'm always going to choose my daily practice because I know that everything else hinges on that dedication that I have.
Thank you. Zainab, I know that you have a daily yoga practice, and I'm just wondering how you combine the two systems into one daily practice.
Yes, that's a great question because there are so many parallels for me between yoga and Reiki. At first, I would see them as two separate paths, but over the years, those two paths really somehow merged for me. And there are some principles in yoga, yamas, niyamas, very similar to the Reiki precepts. There are meditations, and there are really other similarities. So I struggled a little bit in the beginning because I had some meditation practices from my yoga practice, and I didn't want to merge it with what I have with Reiki. But I think at the end, they all peacefully merged together, and now I have one single meditation practice that brings both of them together. And again, another way I merge it is I use Reiki in my yoga classes. I, especially during the meditations, I expand myself with Reiki to all the students while they're in meditation for them to receive whatever they need at that time for their utmost good and benefit. So I keep that expanded state. Sometimes I do merge Reiki with the yin yoga classes. So I do hands-on Reiki on the students, yoga students. Again, when I lead some stress reduction meditations at work, I use Joshin Kokyo. So over the years, they both practice really merged for me. Very nicely.
Could you all give me an idea of how long your daily practices are?
This is Franz here, yeah.
All day?
Oh, okay, we're getting together. This is Franz here. I think it depends, you know. I think so for me, sometimes I think it's necessary to set a very specific amount of time so we could create a routine. But I also find that by setting a specific amount of time, we create a limited meditation. So sometimes it's also just best to say, well, I've got some time now, let's do my meditation practice. So it really depends on my mood and what's happening on that day. So, you know, again, if I'm flying, I've got lots of time because the flights are pretty long from Australia, say, to the US. So then you have lots of time. But if you maybe need to do something else during the day, then there is not much time. So then I might have a little bit more limited time and say, well, okay, then I do 20 minutes. But I personally, you know, also believe that it is very much about looking at the individual. So a beginner needs to take beginning steps, and a person who's been practicing more can expand on that.
Hi, this is Kelly. Sometimes it can be anywhere for me from 5 minutes to an hour. I mean, it really just kind of depends on, you know, like Franz was saying, kind of where I am, I think. And some mornings I just don't have a lot of time, and I'll sit briefly, or sometimes I just can't sit. It just is really uncomfortable to be in that space, and I'll just come back later. So I find that evening is a better, you know, is more lengthy practice time because I'm more relaxed at the end of the day. And some, you know, sometimes I think I'm just going to be there for a half an hour, and, you know, I don't want to get up, and the next, you know, the time is going on and on, and next thing I know, it's been much longer than that. So it's different all the time for me. I just never know what it's going to wind up being.
This is Sundar. For me, it started as an hour and a half a day because that's what my first teacher told me, and I just blindly just followed that until it came to times when that was just not practically possible, and I cut it back to an hour, a half hour, and then it's ebbed and flowed for me until somewhere along the way I just noticed that really the point of this practice is to actually take it into my daily life, particularly in my workplace. And the way that more recently I would say that I've been utilizing my practice is to watch myself and then use the Reiki precepts as filters to make adjustments on the fly as I am responding to events that are happening. Like, for example, I'll notice myself getting clenched in the stomach, and I know, okay, some kind of fear reaction is kicking in. And I remember, right, fear is distraction. Okay, get it. Make a different choice. Shift out of that fear, move on in that moment. And this sort of integration has really begun helping me immensely.
Hi, this is Zeynep. Again, there are a couple things in my practice that I try to do every day without skipping. And the first thing in the morning when I wake up, before even getting out of the bed, is to repeat the Reiki precepts and do even a few minutes. Just connect with the energy. And then when I go to work, actually there is a bridge between the two towers overlooking to downtown. So I just stand in the middle of those bridges and I do Zoshin Kokyoho. That's my regular morning practice every morning, expanding myself, expanding that Reiki to the whole building, to the whole downtown, to the whole city. And during the day, just like Sundar said, I try to bring awareness to the Reiki precepts and, as necessary, practice and remember them in my daily work. And at least once a week, I try to give myself, once or twice a week, a long, like an hour, at least an hour, hands-on practice as well.
I was just thinking that was interesting what Sundar had said about how he began with an hour and a half, and that actually makes it quite impossible if we start with such a long time, because we know that we're not going to be able to keep that up when we begin.
Mm-hmm.
So as you say, it's really just that settling into it, isn't it, and finding the times in the day when it works for you.
This is Joyce. I'd have to mirror what other people are saying. I do have a morning practice. Morning
yep.
is best for me before I get online and start looking at my emails and Facebook and my mind starts going. So I sit down and I try to do 30 minutes of my meditation. Some days, again, like Kelly said, I look and I'm not done. At 30 minutes, I'm like, no, I'm going to go longer. And sometimes I'm just like looking at my watch. Like, is it up yet? So I realize that I'm not grounded and focused in that moment. But what's been happening over the years is my Reiki practice is working on me. I find myself in many, many situations during the day where it just comes to me naturally. Like all of a sudden I'll be doing Joshin Koku Ho. I'll be like, oh, okay, I guess I needed that in the moment. Or I'll realize, like what Sundar said, one of the Reiki precepts will come up, and it's like, geez, I'm really in a lot of anxiety right now. And so then that precept will just kind of work on me. When I'm in my garden, that's such a beautiful place. And of course, it's very grounding because I'm with the earth. And then I'll just be with that beautiful earth energy during that time. So I work on my practice, and my practice is now working on me.
One of the creative things that I realized early on in my practice of Reiki was that my time driving back and forth between home and work was an excellent time to do hands-on healing on myself. And then as I started working with Franz and started learning the chants and so forth, the thing that happened was that the car ride, the commute, turned out to be an excellent place to do the chanting practice, because I can be as loud and as wonderful as I wanted to be, and there was absolutely nobody in the car with me. And that's just such a beautiful private space, which normally is stressful and painful and people cuss through it. For me, it turned out to be a sanctuary.
Mm. Yes, it's interesting where we find the best places to work on ourselves. Now, tell me, Sundar, is it okay to skip a day?
Oh, I have to admit, I've done that many times. and it just happens in the natural flow of things. Quite often I would write back to France and sheepishly admit, hey, last week I could just put in four days, and France would assuage me that it's okay. The fact that you have awareness that your practice is needed, and as the practice strengthens and as it gets integrated into the day more and more, what is getting cut out sometimes for me is the formal sit-down time. But I'm not feeling anxious about it anymore, because I see the expansiveness of my practice entering every nook and cranny of my day. So that feels like, all right, okay, maybe I'm not able to indulge in the practice for myself every single day sitting down in a structured way, but noticing its unstructured nature just permeating everywhere is just beautiful.
This is Kelly. I completely agree with Sundar, because even though the formal practice is really important to sit as much as possible, on a regular basis, I find that there are times when I just, for one reason or another, am obstinate or defiant about it. And I realize that is part of the practice as well, that, whatever it is that I'm working through, that I have to be okay with that, that the precept, be compassionate to yourself and others, comes up for me when that happens. And I allow it to happen, and then I find myself sitting again. But the thing that never stops is some form of my practice. So I may not be doing, the sitting, the formal sitting, but I am working the precepts every day, or I am doing a session every day, this hands-on healing for myself. And there's my work with people, other people and animals, and, the chanting and all that. So I may not sit down for so many minutes in my space where I do my meditation sometimes, but there is always something happening, during the course of the day that is Reiki.
Yeah. How about you, Kathleen?
Well, I'm thinking, as everyone's talking, I'm thinking about my daughter, Indigo, who's almost six, and my practice has evolved kind of as she's evolved, because I took my first class with Franz when she was like 2 months old or something. I don't even know how I managed that, to host that at that time, but somehow I did. And, you know, he's like, okay, so now you're going to do this chant every day. And I'm like, what? You know, first of all, I never chanted. And second of all, I have like a, you know, a baby and I'm nursing all the time. I'm like, really? I don't have time to do this. And I really, the only time that I had was when I would nurse her. So I would chant and I wouldn't do the really loud chanting that I do now. Clearly that would be like disturbing, but I would do a quiet chant every time I nursed her. And I knew I was nursing, you know, a lot in those early times, every 3 or 4 hours. And that was my time to chant. And then as, you know, as she got older, there were, you know, she would have longer nap times. I would have more sit-down time. And you know, when she went through her terrible twos and was having fits all the time, and she would go down for a morning nap, and I'd be like, oh, my God, I got to do my meditation to get through the rest of this day. And so it was like my morning when she had her nap, that was like my time to, like, get myself together. And that helped me so much get through the rest of the day with patience with her. And now, you know, she's in kindergarten this year, and so I have much more time now, and I'm more flexible now. You know, sometimes I meditate in the morning, sometimes I meditate in the afternoon, sometimes I meditate in the evening, and, you know, but I have, for me, like, I've always tried to be flexible and just let it happen the way that feels right, and I always find time in my day, but sometimes it's, like, bits and pieces, and sometimes it's, like, a whole hour at a time, and, you know, it just, you know, and I always say that to my students too, that, you know, if all you can commit to is 5 minutes every single day, that builds up, you know, because it's like again and again and again, you keep revisiting going to that place, and pretty soon the 5 minutes isn't long enough and you want to sit longer.
Beginning with you, Kathleen, do you have, out of all of that, any helpful hints? That was a good one that you just gave, but any more for people to help them to integrate the system of Reiki into their daily life? So really to help them to make a routine of the practice.
Yeah, I think, you know, picking a time of day that you can be consistent, and even if it's just 5 minutes to start, but maybe like when you first wake up in the morning or before you go to bed at night, that's a time when people, it's often quiet, people might be by themselves, and that's a time when they can, you know, sit. Also, I always tell people to invite their animals and to sit with them, because it's just easier. You know, I've had a lot of students that are like, oh, I can't meditate, my brain goes too crazy, it's too hard. And I'll say, all right, well, have you tried going out and standing in the pasture with your horse and doing this? And they're like, no. So they go out and they stand at their horse, and then they'll come back and they'll be like, oh my God, like 40 minutes went by and I was just standing with my horse, I didn't even realize the time, and it was so easy. And so that is my other really main thing, is to invite the animals, because they have a quieter inner sort of core, and we can hook into that, and it can help us get to that place.
Thank you. That's great. Joyce, how about from your own personal experience? Have you got any hints for the listeners on how they can best integrate the system into their lives?
In addition to what Kathleen said, I believe at first it's very important to set a specific period of time. And just like Kathleen said, I tell my students 5 minutes, even 3 times a day, is better than waiting to get that half hour every day, because you won't do it. And consistency is the most important thing. So I recommend, if they do have a long commute, that they can do Joshin Kokuho at a light. When they're running errands and they're waiting in line at the cash register, to do Joshin Kokuho, or to practice the precepts while they're standing in line. So I try to pick very practical applications for things that they do in their everyday lives. In the shower, they can chant in the shower if they're level 2 or 3 students. So I try to, another one is eating, is to try to be very mindful when they eat and to breathe and to not be thinking about something else. And that helps already to focus the mind, which is also helps in Reiki. So those are some of the few tidbits that I offer my students.
Thank you. How about you, Zainab? Any hints?
Creating rituals really helps. Like I said before, mine is really to repeat the precepts before I even get out of the bed, and connecting with the energy. One other thing that I do during the day is integrating Joshin Kokyuho. And there is also a nice app called Insight Timer. You can adjust it. You can use it on your iPhone, iPad, and set it up to make yourself reminders. So every hour when you hear the chime, you can just take a breath with Joshin Kokyo and expand that breath to everyone around you, to share Reiki with everyone. And also practicing the precepts, I think, is really key for me in my daily practice, being aware of my, just like Sundar said, to the indications of my body, my breath, and reminding myself to just trust, not to worry. Be grateful for the little miracles of the day. But integrating the precepts, I think, is the biggest of how I integrate Reiki into my life.
Thank you, Zeynep. And Kelly, any hints for the listeners on how to integrate the system into their lives?
I do the same thing with my students and tell them to start with 5 minutes every day, but I also, you know, will tell them to, you know, find a specific place that they can go to every day in their house, you know, set up a little area in a corner of a room or someplace peaceful where they're away from everything, and try to do it at the same time every day in the beginning. And also start with the 5 minutes and just do that for a week, and then after the week, the end of the week, they usually find that they're sitting a little longer. So then for the second week, move it to 10 minutes, and then 15 the week after that, and by the end of 4 weeks, they're usually 20 minutes to a half an hour. And just whenever they're sitting, put their hands on themselves, put their hands over their heart. Whenever they're uncomfortable or they're stressed or anything, hands on their heart, hands on their hara. Whenever you're just sitting watching TV, you know, they can be doing Reiki on themselves. I do that all the time. If I have my hands are free and I'm just sitting there, they're on me somewhere giving myself Reiki.
Great. Thank you. And Sundar, apart from chanting in the car, have you got any other hints?
I think at the early stages when they are picking up the first level of Reiki for the first time, I feel like the daily practice has got to be non-negotiable aspect of their day, that it isn't something that they can reason away saying I'm busy or whatever happened. Like everybody is saying, 5 minutes is just absolutely wonderful, and the thing to recognize with that is that small period of time alone is enough for them to have the joy of the initial experience of practice. And like others have said, having been able to get just that initial joy, the expansion can happen naturally. Out of their own volition, many people will just start doing 10 minutes, 20 minutes. I think ultimately, like I think others have also pointed out, the key is to recognize that there is sheer magic in the precepts. And in it is really a set of absolutely simple but profound ideas that can completely transform how we navigate life moment to moment. So in the way that I am now beginning to teach, one of the things I am doing is I am spending a lot of time with the precepts, allowing for people to see their individual value for themselves sitting in meditation with it, so that they can then more readily take it into their daily life.
And Franz, have you got some hints for us all?
Well, I like everybody's else hints. They're great. I think for me also, one important thing is to remember. So each time when we remember how it felt when we did our meditation. So say I'm doing a meditation in the morning and then maybe at work I feel a bit stressed. So then I can actually very quickly remember that sensation or that openness or that peacefulness when I was doing my meditation in the morning. So for me, remembering is a really good tool to each time connect back to that same space. And I think another important one is to stay in contact with your teachers. so that if you have any difficulty with your personal practice, that you can talk to them about it and say, okay, you know, this is happening or I'm struggling with this one. So that over time also, with your own help and the teacher's help, you can make your personal practice really organic into your own way, you know. My practice is quite different maybe than Kelly's practice or than Joy's practice or Kathleen's practice or Suna's practice might be different than mine. Even that we might all practice the same thing, it might be slightly different because we need to really make it our own. And I think that is a really important thing. The more we make it our own, the more organic it becomes, the more joy we get out of the practice, so the more we want to do it as well.
Thanks, Franz, and thank you, everyone. I think we're finished, and that's been a fascinating look at integrating the system of Reiki into our daily lives, because each one of you really has, even though there's a lot of similarities, I found a lot of unique differences as well, and a lot of great ideas to help encourage and inspire people to be consistent and mindful and find the joy in their practice. So I hope that all these ideas will help those of you who are listening to continue practicing, especially during the holiday period, and get all the pleasure that you can out of the system of Reiki. Thank you, everyone. Joyce and Kathleen, Zeynep, Kelly, Sundar and Franz, thank you for coming together and sharing all your ideas with us. Thank you.